explore meaning in the written word, especially about one concept, one word, one syllable. There you see it, joy. So in today's message, this is a teaching message. I say that so you can just relax, take notes, take it in, absorb it. I'm going to talk about the messages in this sermon series because I think they need for us repeating and reinforcing. I'm going to say a few words about our cottage meetings, which are really amazing. I'll report on that next week, May 1st at 12:20 here. It'll be interesting as it relates to this message. Then looking at our scripture verses and then a final thought. So the reason I'm going back over this sermon series is to explain a little bit more about a number of things. One of them is why we have sermon series. Most Lutheran churches throughout the world preach on the appointed texts for today, just like every other liturgical-minded church, Catholics, Episcopals, Lutherans, etc. That's a good thing because it always covers a range of topics. Here, I'm giving credit to Pastors Jake and Pastor Chris because I didn't do that. I'm following in. But what an incredible thing. So you understand these topics are carefully thought of and prepared and set out a half a year in advance so that we can bring you topics that we think are applicable to your spiritual growth. It's not taking something off the shelf. It's something we believe will fit you. A suit that fits me would be a 44 long, okay? That fits me. These are designed to fit you, not beginners, not, you know, PhDs, just where we are. And so after Easter, it makes sense that we might talk about joy, right? So this Easter, wow, that is the best Sunday in the whole year. So cool. You get free stuff, you know. A hand sanitizer. Last year is the towels, right? That was cool. What are we going to do next year? Who knows? Just playful. It's fun. Easter, so joyful. So to follow that, well, it makes sense to talk about joy, but here's my point. Joy is such a essentially superficial thought. So here are the topics that thoughtfully, sequentially explain that. First of all, Pastor Jake, what is joy? And then next, how do I grow in joy, Pastor Chris. Last week again, how would I share joy? Remember that? And now I'm talking today about how joy works in our community. And I believe that the reality of how joy works here is not something that we or generally people would understand. So to build toward that, I want to remind you of what Pastor Jake was talking about. What is joy? Well, for starters, we think of that like we would think about happiness, right? So, but it's not quite the same. He talked about joy as compared to happiness. And happiness is a good thing, it's just not the same. And remember, he's talking about how we look for the things that will make us happy. Sometimes it's just, I need this one thing. If I just had my mortgage paid off, or if I just, you know, had, I'm in high school, and if I just get a date with that girl, that would make me happy. Whatever it would take to make you happy. Remember that Steve Martin clip? That's all I need is just one thing. That's all I need. And this thing, but that's all. It's kind of funny because, I mean, that kind of represents us. We go through, we focus on what's next. And here's the thing about joy versus happiness. Happiness is something we look for. Joy is something we are given. It's not just different, it's the opposite. And so, I think that's a pretty profound thing. I'm older than they are. I hadn't thought about it that way. So I'm getting something out of this because I'm thinking about, wow, that's pretty profound. What is joy? Okay. How do we grow in it? Pastor Chris was talking about how our culture, he talked about a lot of things. This is just one of those things. How in our culture today, when we have a genuinely joyful spirit, sometimes in the world we live, that's kind of suspicious. Like, what's wrong with you? You shouldn't be this happy. Why aren't you grumpy like I am? You know, there's a distance. And so understanding that we grow in joy as we grow in our relationship with the source of that joy. Where does it come from? That's a good reminder. That's a profound thought for me. Explore that a little more in a couple minutes. And then Pastor Jake last week talking about how we share that and the way we talk about that. And his reference was a world that we live in has a number of thoughts. One of them is The Secret and the book about The Secret. I've watched an Oprah episode. Yes, I did watch Oprah when she was on. So street cred there with somebody, I don't know. But yeah, I remember Oprah episode. This is really cool. And actually, there's a lot of truth in that. You know, whatever you think about, the positive thinking is a reality. But the law of attraction is that the universe will give you what you're thinking. That's not the ultimate. It's good, but it's not the ultimate truth. Relative to joy, again, we have to, and Jake mentioned this last week, there's three questions. I'm going to read them because they're important. He said, who am I? Why am I here? And how can I do what God has called me to do? Those questions are, who am I? Identity. Why am I here? Purpose. How can I do what God's called me to do? Power. So if we can figure out identity, purpose, and power, wouldn't that be a pretty cool thing? That's pretty substantial. There is a level of depth to understanding those issues. And Pastor Jake will frequently connect us to or talk about our relationship with Christ and how that's the answer. But I want to dig a little deeper on that, because when we talk about Christ being the answer, that's a calling upon a faith that we have. And it's not really explaining. How does that work exactly? What do you mean Christ is the answer? I don't get it. Tell me more. My quick reference is, these are answers that theologians have. The thing is, they usually talk in theology language. And I'm qualified to do that. I come from a long line of pastors and trained for the ministry since a freshman in high school. So I got that. But I'm more of a regular guy. I'm going to try to explain how that connection works in kind of everyday language. Here's the thing you have to understand. How is it that we are saved? How is it that we have eternal life? How does that work? Here's the starting point. You have to understand that our wonderful human mind, as bright and as smart as each of us is individually, we're not going to understand everything. There are mysteries to this universe. I challenge you to explain to me in understandable terms the concept of eternity, something that has no limits. I don't think you can fully understand that. The limits of the universe. It's not only vast, it's unending. How can God be all powerful? How can bad things happen to good people? That's not fair. They are just mysteries. If you cannot get the concept that you don't know everything, and you're not going to, if you can't get that simple thing, you're going to have challenges being a Christian. The people who are our friends, who we like and love, who are agnostics or atheists, they're essentially unable to give that up. That can't be. So before we get into the arguments about it, you have to understand we actually do have certain limits. We're not going to be able to understand everything. So the thing I'm going to tell you next, I don't expect you to understand, but I'm going to try anyway. Christianity is unlike pretty much any other message in the history of humanity, because it's a message of total love. Even in how we come to faith, We Lutherans, I think, have a good understanding. It's theology. I'm going to try this. Those gifts from God are free to us. What do? Well, we kind of accept it. Our part is believing it. Does that mean that we have a better faith than those other people? No. We're not better than anybody. But there's something in our hearts that's willing and able to accept that love. There's some kind of vulnerability we're able to admit to, that we need it. There's something in our hearts as Christians that says, yes, you're speaking the truth, I understand it, I am not worthy. And so that little bit of receptivity permits the gospel message to come in. We believe, get this, we Lutherans believe that even that faith, that willingness to open the door of our heart, that faith is a gift from God. We don't believe that in any way we've earned or deserved it. Now stop right there. I'm telling you, because I've thought about this for decades, I don't believe you're going to be able to figure this out entirely. This thing I just said, we get it at one level. But if you keep thinking about it, logically, it just doesn't add up. You're not going to be able to figure it out entirely. So we accept it by faith. I'm telling you that God loves you. That's who I am. That's what I stand for. I'm telling you that God loves you. If you believe that, if you can understand it, if there's even a little hope in your heart that that could be true, then you have accepted in some way God's love. It's a faith issue. It's not a scientific prove it to me issue. And yet, we do see miracles in our lives. People here that I've talked to in cottage meetings have come to faith. They have understood and accepted the gift of eternal life, of forgiveness, of fellowship in a family, of knowing that God loves them. Their lives have been relationally and physically transformed by that acceptance of God's love. That's the thing I wanted to explain to you about joy and how it works. Not just that it exists, but how it works. It works if you open your heart. So essentially, you don't really need to hear more about how sinful you are. I pretty much think you already know that. You need to hear God loves you. That's the gospel, not more law. But now that I've sort of explained that, I want to talk about our cottage meetings just briefly. What did I hear? Wonderful people. Tons of people came out. You were all very open. And there's two things I get. I'll explain it more later. That we have some really amazing, wonderful, impressive people here. Lots of people have a genuine heart for the Lord's work. Thank you. And we also have some hurting people. When I reflect upon frustration and anger and pain that's sometimes expressed in cottage meetings, which is what I'm wanting and asking for, thank you. When I reflect on that, what it means to me and what I'm telling you now in the sermon is we have people in our family that have pain. And what does that mean for us? That means we have to be able as a community to listen to that pain. There's all kinds of things. It takes time. I'll explain it next week at 12:20. But here's the thing about joy in our community. You don't need a long message, here it is. We have in our family at St. Luke's, we have in this congregation joy, whether we see it or not, whether we know it or not, whether we feel it or not, because this joy is a gift from God irrevocably. If you're telling me about your pain, I understand that. I'm an older person too. I have issues in my life. I understand pain, but I'm your pastor. I need to remind you of God's love in your life. If you're a member here, I would like to hear you be able to share that. And I'm speaking to your heart now when I say, yes, of course we want to be cared for. My good friends here will say, well, this place should be like a hospital. I'm saying thoughtfully, well, that's good, but that's not our purpose. If there's any unclearness about our purpose, it's written on the wall, for heaven's sake. It's on a plaque outside. Our purpose, our main mission is to seek out and bring people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Why is that? Well, let me think now. What did Jesus say to us just before he left? What is this thing we call the Great Commission? You probably know it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. God's mission to us is to tell people about his love. That's our job here. That's our number one job. If you forget it, I'll remind you. I'm your pastor. That's my job. What's our mission? Bring people. We're going to do that other thing, but it's not our main mission. We should have clarity about who we are and what's our purpose and where our power comes from. So, understanding joy is important to us because sometimes what? Sometimes we forget. We forget our identity, our purpose, and our power. We forget that. So I'm reminding you of a gift that you have that you may not know about. You may not remember it. You may not have heard it in the first time. I'm telling you now, it's a powerful thing to be loved by God. It will transform your life. It will change you, and it is and has changed us and will into the future. We are a community gathered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a powerful thing. And I can tell you more stories than I will, of just how powerful that love is. How many here have had their lives transformed. And I know it's true because you're telling me about this. And I'm impressed and filled with joy, but it functions in our community. So joy is not something just we know about or we can grow in or we can share with others. Joy here functions in our community. It's our fuel. It goes along with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It goes along with those other things we get, like forgiveness, love, peace, salvation, and eternal life. It's part of that same thing. We have joy because it is given to us, and we have it as Christians. Whether we know it or not, whether we remember it or not, and whether we communicate it or not. So, in the Old Testament, we read in Chronicles about this amazing moment where, if you read chapter 29, you'll see that David, King David, is getting ready to build the temple. Finally, God told him he couldn't do it because of his relationship with Bathsheba, that Solomon, his son, said, hey, I've provided this and I'm giving that. And the leaders say, yeah, I'll do this. And then when I tell you, yeah, and everybody's really happy about that. And that's what happens when people give joyfully. It creates a community. And we've had this. How did this sanctuary get built? Where did this building come from? It's not the temple in Old Testament time, but somebody built this. Somebody gave joyfully, so we could sit in this room. Joy functions in our community, and because it's from God, it's going to continue to function in our community, and it's our fuel, and we have it whether we know it or not. So that's the Old Testament lesson. Jesus talks about vines and branches. Kathy and I lived in a condo for a while in Linwood. Now we have our own home. In the back of this home, there's grapevines, and they're all connected, vines and branches. So it's hard to tell where the branches and the vines, you know, it's all connected, and they're one end to the other. So that's a image of the community of Christ. We're all connected to Jesus. Next week, I'm preaching about the body of Christ. We all have separate, you know, nose, ears, eyes. We all work together. Kind of great images Jesus gives us for understanding how we function together. So now here's my main point. I'm wrapping up. The thing I want you to understand is something I mentioned just a minute ago. How powerful is the joy we get from Jesus in our community, and also how little we remember or understand it unless we're reminded of it. So tomorrow when you go to school or go to work, I just pray that you're not going to be quite the same person. You're going to wake up tomorrow with a little different understanding of who you are. You look in the mirror and say, my goodness, I am a person who's loved by God. It makes me more powerful than I realized. It gives me a purpose I didn't know I had. It certainly influences who I am, my identity. All those great questions about us, we get those answered through the gospel of Jesus Christ, because by our faith we become connected to that power source. I have a cell phone. Battery runs down. Unless I plug it in, it won't work. It will be dead. Our faith needs to be plugged in and recharged just like my cell phone. Otherwise, we'll go dead. And we get recharging from worshiping together, from all those many things we experience in just 1 hour. It's amazing. Great music. Holy Communion, prayers, God's Word explained. We are equipped. We are plugged in. We are empowered by the love of God through Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. That's what's happening now in our community, and that will be our fuel, our ability to recharge through the future years ahead. May God grant us that ability to see and understand the joy of Christ in our lives here. May God grant that in Jesus' name. Amen.